Okay, let's begin our discussion of Erevin Yerushalmi Daf Ches, and we are on Zion Amud Beis, as we continue here in the first parak of Maseches Erevin, and we did right up to the Mishnah. So we spoke about the discussion of putting together different types of korahs. We mentioned that a korah has a minimum shear. It has to be wide enough to hold a brick that is a chatzi levenish or shlosh etvachim, but doesn't have to be totally under it, as long as it hangs over a little bit, that is okay. And then we went through different types of permutations of what happens if the korah doesn't go all the way across. What if there's space? It has to be within three tvachim. What about if one is above the other one, and you have to put them together? And the last point that we made was that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to put two of the korahs that are not on the same level as each other, you'll have to view them as if they're one, as long as they're within three tefachim of each other, as we saw, Lovewood. And we mentioned that this is against, a little bit like, and a little bit against his father, Shita, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, meaning his father, Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda said in the first Mishnah that you could even go above 20 amas. And here, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda seems to say 20 amas is the cutoff point, number one. And number two, in the next Mishnah that we'll have, Rabbi Yehuda seems to be very makel about the korahs, and here he seems to be very makel about the korahs too. So that's why he's a little bit like his father Shita, he's a little bit not like his father Shita. Are you allowed to argue on your father? Right? If your father says something, he's half arguing on his father. So I don't think the reason is because he doesn't want to argue the whole. I don't think it's a Hilchos Kibud Avim idea here, or Mora of Avim. But one can. The Shulchan Aruch says not, but if you do, one does it in a covetic way, so then one can, theoretically, right? The Gemara has this, numerous times that a father and a son, argue. And that's not as we find in the poskim. You might have the Chassam Sofer and Eksav Sofer, or a Rabbi Chacham Tzvi and Rabbi Yaakov Emdin. Different times when we have greats that might argue on their fathers. The Shulchan Aruch discusses this in Yeridei and Siman Reish Mem, which is the siman about Hilchos Kibud Av Ve'Eim, Kavod and Mora, right? Two different mitzvahs. And the Shulchan Aruch, the title of the siman is Ezehu Kavod, Ezehu Mora, V'dinehem. Right, what's kavod and what's mora? The Shulchan Aruch starts off, Tzorech li zoher ma'od. It's not such a common lashon. It's even less common to say ma'od, ma'od. He says that four or five times. But here he just says ma'od. Tzorech li zoher ma'od bekavod avi v'imo uvin mora Ezil, mora, mora means, or we usually just put it all together, keep it avim, but it's not. Kavod is basically the mitzvah saseh, what I do for my parent. I give them water, and I get them dressed, and I give them food, right? Machil, mashke, malbish. Mora is the things that I don't do. I don't sit in their chair. I don't interrupt them. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch interestingly says first. Ezeo mora lo yamod bimkomo, hamiyucha lo, lamod sham besod zakeinim im chaveirav. If my father has a specific place to stand or to be with the other zakeinim, o makam hamiyucha lo lispalel, or to sit in there, his seat of makam kavu and davening, v'lo yeshiv makam yuchal lo lahasi bebeso, or in the house, v'lo soser ezvarav, not to contradict him, v'lo soser ezvarav is befer Shulchan Aruch, lo soser ezvarav, v'lo machria ezvarav befanav, afilu lomer niver divrei abba, or like if there's an argument and you like vote like yeah I think my father's right, as if your father needs you, v'lo yikrenu bishmo, it gets to other halachas, but lo soser ezvarav. So the Pischei Tshuva says, Ayin Sefer Atzmus Yosef, Kiddushin, Daf Lamed, Shekotzav Daha Ben Im Ha'av, Yicholim Lahakshos Ulataretz, Ulahasik Maskanos Ha'alacha, Ve'ein Bazem Mishim Soser Ezvarav. Meaning, if you're talking in Torah, and one is doing it in a way that's covetic, right, one always has to be covetic. Let's say some of the language that sometimes is used in the Gemara might not be appropriate for a son to a father. But in general, if it's done properly and done with covet, so then one is allowed, says the Shulchan Aruch. And, obviously that's what we're talking about here, where Rabbi Yehuda might argue on his father, you know, that is allowed if somebody feels that that is, different. And then the Shulchan Aruch goes into, Adhechon Mora'am, how far it is, based on the Gemara in, Kiddushin, he rips his clothing, Ezeo Kavod, and then the examples that I gave before, Machil Malbish, which has been pointed out, usually we think of like basic Kibud Av Ve'Eim is, you know, say thank you when your parents give you a lollipop. So that is Kavod, but the real Kavod, the examples given by Chazal are Machil Mashke Malbish, which means at stages where the parent cannot dress themselves or feed themselves, that's real Kavod. Ma'achil Malbish, mashke, that's where it comes out as the parent is older. Rav Dessler has that one more line related to this, then we'll get to the next Mishnah. Rav Dessler, I think in the fifth volume of the Bechel Elio, has a beautiful idea where he says, wonders why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this model of parents. Now, Hashem could have created, you know, everybody like Adam. Might take us out of the ground. When it's time for us to be born, we'll sprout and we'll come out. Hashem could have done that, like Adam, but no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this system of reproduction and parents and offspring and children. And why is that? With animals too. I mean, animals could be a different reason, but why is that? So Rav Dessler explains that if we wouldn't have the parent-child model, then we would never have an inkling into understanding the Hashem created model. Meaning to have a being that is totally giving and totally, you know, who hated, we can have an inkling that parents, you know, turn their life upside down and do everything for their children. It's so one directional, for sure, for the first part of life. But we wouldn't have an inkling like to understand that. We wouldn't understand the HaKadosh Baruch Hu model were it not for the parent model. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need us at all. Who hated, who made it, right? Hashem doesn't need, the Chovas HaLevava says, Hashem created us only to be good to us, to give to us. That's the only reason that Bris HaOlam took place. Hashem doesn't need the world. He created the world to give to the world, to have us serve him. But again, so the fact that there are parents and children, that gives us an idea as a model for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Nivram. And the Chinuch in Mitzvah Lama Gimel, if you remember, talks about this too. If you give kavod to your parents, that'll lead you to give kavod to the other partner of a child. That's why it goes on the bottom right in Nasar Sidibris. It's a little bit better than Malmakom, it's a little bit better than Machavero. That's the Minchas Chinuch's question. Okay, so let's get to the next Mishnah. Zion of Abayis, here we go. Rechava, so as we said, the Korah, the board has to be wide enough to hold this brick. So Rechava l'kabal ariyach, ubri l'kabal ariyach. The Tanakhama says, not only wide enough, but strong enough to hold the brick. Rabbi Yehuda omer, Rechava pisha in abriya. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the whole thing's imaginary anyway. So if it's wide enough, that's good enough, even though it is not strong enough. Again, what we're talking about here, if you remember, is how to close off a mavui. We're not talking about a Teresa Pesach, right? We discussed that a few days ago. Teresa Pesach, we paskin, there's no minimum anything for the lechi al gabehen. Or lechi al the korah, al gabehen. It's minimal. Remember, we used the lashon of gemi. That was the lashon that was used in the Gemara, and that's what we paskin. Right, but that's different than here. We're talking about a korah that's being matir the mavui. We're not talking about a tzuras of Pesach. Right, that's why it has to be high. It has to have a higher standard. So machlok is whether it has to be strong enough. Rechava lekabel ariyach v'chulu tani Reb Shimon Omer bria v'mishena rechava. A third shita. Right, what did the Mishnah have? Wide and strong. Reb Yehuda said just wide. Reb Shimon says just strong. Right, if it's strong enough to hold the bricks, even though it's not wide enough to usually be able to handle it. Briyava b'sheini rechava. Rav Huna b'sheini rechava. Who do we pass in like? Three shitas. Rav Huna b'sheini rechava. Halacha k'Rabbi Meir. Halacha k'Rabbi Meir, which means stam mishnah. Stam mishnah k'Rabbi Meir. Halacha k'Rabbi Meir, meaning you need strong and wide. Shmuel amar, halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel said halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda, that wide without strong. Rabbi Shimon Levi amar, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon. Shimon Levi said halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, which is the shita in the braisa. Interesting, the Samachronim point out, don't we usually have last week, halacha k'divrei ha-mekel be'eruv? You know, one would think, you always go by the one that's ma-mekel, so maybe you should say that, well, which one is ma-mekel? Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are both mekel in a different way, so it's hard to know. So some say maybe that, remember we had the chiluk, that's about eruv and not about mechitzos. And this might be about mechitzos, and that's why it's not automatically halacha k'divrei ha-mekel be'eruv. Okay, but either way, different opinions. Rabbi Shimon ben Karsana. Rabbi Shimon ben Karsana says something very unusual that appears very not often, very rarely in Chazal. Mikiva the Tamer Halacha Kadein, Halacha Kadein. Since some say the Halacha is like A, some say the Halacha is like B. Man David Hachin Lachashash, Man David Hachin Lachashash. Whatever you do is good. Basically, what the Gemara in Bracha says, David Kamar Avid, David Kamar Avid. You could choose. Mana argues. He says, no, Mikiva de Idmar halacha k'rabanan, shafi liyachiv, other k'rabanan. No, since one of the shitas is a sta mishnah, which we assume is like the Rabbanan, Rebbe Meir, which is like the Rabbanan, so then you have to go like the Rabbim. You have to go like the Rabbim and not like the Yachid. Okay, we continue. Rav Azal Lachad Asa. Rav once came somewhere to a place. Chamachad Mavui Sharita Belachayaya. He saw a Mavui that was matired with a Lechi. With a what kind of Lechi? A very flimsy Lechi. The Karban Eda says, Shahaya Dak, right? The Pnei Moshe. Daka Ma'od Keluach Hazeh. Right, he saw it was very flimsy, this lechi. So what did he do? Yoavla chutra. So what did he do? He took the language used is lechi, but if you look in the if you want to fit it to what we were just talking about, you have to always say it's almost the korah, not the lechi. The lechi is the vertical, and the korah, which we were talking about, is a horizontal. So assuming that's what it means here, if you look in the Pnei Moshe, so he tiro bikora. Bekora achas dakamod. So we're talking about a kora, okay, a flimsy kora, which is not strong enough, So yavla bechutra vafla. What did he do? So Rav was talking. He took his stick and he banged it, so it fell down. Yavla chutvafla, to show how flimsy it is, and it's not good enough, right? Meaning against, as we'll see, against Rabbi Yehuda. Amar le Rav Chuna, dik lakayim. What are you banging down the stick for? There's a dikla. Right, there's a tree. There's that's next to the opening of the mavui, and they can rely on that. They can rely on that for it to be a lechi. Amar le Rav. Rav says to him, "Enoi de Rav Chuna Gaba, veinu de Rav Lesinu Gaba." He's talking to Rav Chuna. He's saying, "What, you think Rav Chuna's eye saw something that Rav's eyes didn't see? You don't think I noticed that?" Right, a little bit of sarcasm in the Gemara here. You don't think I saw that? Right, your eyes saw something that I didn't see. Ella harini osur lemishim kora. No, what I'm doing is that I don't want people to think that they can rely on this kora. Maybe people will be walking by, they'll see a kora, they'll think it's the kora that's being matir. But this kora is flimsy. This kora is not good enough, right, to matir. So I know there's this dekel tree at the edge that can function as the lechi, which shows that you don't have to put up a lechi lishma, right? You have a tree growing there, like we said when we spoke about the. You don't need to use a Pesach lishma, right? You use the telephone poles if it works out. But this week I'm gonna tell them it's usher because so they don't think. And next week I'll allow it so that the mishum lechi mishum this tree. Shehi yodin, so they know. That if the dekel tree somehow is removed, that'll be usher l'talta, because that's the real reason that it is allowed, not because of the korah that's hanging. In the Sefer Mashbiach in the back, he says, the story must have happened before Shabbos. Right? On Shabbos, he banged down the korah. So he said, it doesn't say that it happened on Shabbos. So he said, it must be that it happened. Yeah, right. Va'afla, that's what the Sefer Mashbiach says here, that it must have happened before Shabbos. And b'yimeachol ha'yav lo b'Shabbos. V'umasha asra haynu mishim korah ula olam. Right? He's saying that the korah cannot matter. So that's one version of the story. The is boi meimar, continues the Gemara, and some say, is boi meimar, delo yahavun savrin kereb Yehuda. Well, maybe the emphasis was that he didn't want people to think that we passed like Rabbi Yehuda, right? We just had Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. So Rabbi Yehuda amar rechaval peishe nebriya. Rabbi Yehuda says that could be wide, even though it's not strong enough, or I was saying, no, right? Not like Rabbi Yehuda, and he wanted to teach that lesson. Again, even though it was technically, therefore, if you think about it, that first Shabbos, it was really mutter, but he was teaching a lesson. He didn't want people to, even though that usually you're not allowed to ask for something that's mutter. Remember in the vidui of Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon that we say on Erev Yom Kippur, right? It's printed in the Machzorim along with the Tila Zaka, right? So we say Hashem, we mess things up, and we say Esa Sher Masha Asarta Hitarti Umasha Hitarta Asarti. Besides the next line of Masha Hechmarta Hekalti Vlo Masha Hekalta Hechmarti, which is interesting. The Chumers and the Kulas we got mixed up. But the first one says, we're not allowed to be, you know, Machmir, Oser, something that's Mutter, right? Either because that could lead to, there's always a Chumer Dasli De Kula, or because Stam, it's a Ziyafa Torah to Mechsi that it's wrong. But here he's doing it for a good reason. He's doing it for a future reason, and therefore it would be okay. We continue. We take away the dalet. Rabbi Chinin Alo Amar Ken. Rabbi Chinin has a different version of the story of what Rav banged down and got upset. El Rav Azal Lachadasa. Rav went to a certain place. Chamachad Mavui Shenital Korasso Va'asala. A different case. There was a case that a Amavu, he had a korah at the beginning of Shabbos. And in the middle of Shabbos, somehow it fell down. And Rav said, okay, sorry, you can't carry in here now. Right? He asered, even though at the beginning of Shabbos it was up. Amale Rav Chuna, Dikla Koyim. Rav Chuna again says, this is the, Rav Chuna, there's a tree, there's a dekel tree by the door. So Rav says him, Inui de Rav Chuna Gabav, Inui de Rav Lesenu Gabav. Same thing, what, your eyes see something that I don't see. Elah Redi Oser Lehemishim Korah. No, I'm answering because this Korah fell down. And I don't want people to think that because the Korah was standing, was up at the beginning of Shabbos, that it's like Kiva de Hutra Hutra. No, not. Ulo Shabbos Abani, Matala Mishim Lechi. Next week I'll allow them, Mishim Lechi. Shiyu Yodinsh, they should know, Shi Minatala Dekel, Shuas Latatos. They should know that it's only because of the Dekel tree. And if the Dekel tree is removed, so then it's going to be Usser. And this Tabay Meimar, and some say, Delo Yavin Sovereign, Krebi Huda. Now, because he doesn't want you to pass the Rabbi Yehuda. Which Rabbi Yehuda? This is now a different Rabbi Yehuda. If you look later on, Daf Samach Beis Amad Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda there says that if there is a heter when Shabbos started, then that heter continues all of Shabbos. Right? That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita later on in the ninth parak on Samach Beis Amad Aleph. Mavi Shenitzla Karaso Olechayav Mutaran Ba'osa Shabbos Va'asurin La'asin Lavo. Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that Shabbos is Mutar because the whole thing is a Tzorach Durabanan. So once Shabbos started and you did something to remind people that even if it fell down, we would say that it is okay. Right? But certainly, Lasa Lava, for the following Shabbos, you have to put it back up. Right? It doesn't work for that. But since it was Mutter for this Shabbos, Rabbi Yossi there argues, so that's what the Rav was saying here, maybe against Rabbi Yehuda. So the first version of the story is against Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah that has to be strong. And the second version of the story is against Rabbi Yehuda. Then in that Mishnah, that you don't say, keep it hutra hutra, this topic. It's not like an Erev Chatzer, an Erev Tchumen, where as long as it was there when Shabbos started, you were Kona Shvisa, and, it's good enough. No, we don't say that. Okay. Next section. The Achronim all struggle to figure out what these next three lines are doing here. Some say, the Erev Chaim Kanievsky says, this is Yerushalmi-like, that it doesn't really belong here. And this happens sometimes. One of the acronyms on the back has 2.5 columns trying to figure out exactly, come up with chidushim, what exactly he's talking about here. We're talking about Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda. And we're talking about Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to ask a stira in Rabbi Yehuda's Shitas. Which stira? So the Mishnah says, the question is, how to matir a karpef? Remember, a karpef, shlohuka fladira. That's an area that's very large, that technically should be a rishus hayachid. It's surrounded by walls, surrounded by a fence. But it was not made as a residential area. It's just made as, a forest. A huge forest, and you surround the surrounded by a fence. Still, that's midrabanan. We don't allow carrying in there, unless you do a tikkun. Unless you make it hukaf ladira. Right, sometimes it's very lamaisa in various, you want to build an Erev, sometimes a karpev shluka fladira could ruin the Erev, and that's why you have to corded it off. You have to corded it off for the rest of the Erev. Sometimes you have a lake. If the lake is used and people were swimming in the lake and boating in the lakes, then that could be called residential. And therefore, if people take a walk through the forest, that's called residential. But if not, so we'll have to talk about that, about karpev, so lamaisa. So how do you fix a karpev? So, the Mishnah later on in Daf Yud Ches Mabez, Rabbi Yehuda says, even if you just dig a little pit, right, the Mishnah that we'll have in 10 blot, even if you dig a little pit there, that's good enough to fix your karpef. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yud Ches Mabez, afilu ein ba el abor siach uma'ara mitaltlin betocha. That's it. All you need is a little covered space. But if you look in the Mishnah in Beitza, it sounds like, no, it has to be within proximity of the city. And now we have that. Ditanina Taman, or we learned over there in the Mishnah in Beitza, Ezeo Karpef, what is a Karpef? Koshu Samach, a Karpef that you're able to take from, if there is wood scattered in the area, you're allowed to take from it on Yantif. You could assume it's already called Muchan, it's not Muksa on Yantif. So Ezeo Karpef, Koshu Samach Leir, Dear Rabbi Yehuda, right? Proximity to the city. So that's the way how you define a residential Karpef. Proximity to the city. And here on Daf Yud Ches, you say otherwise. Answer, Amar Rabbi Mana, Kebez Dira Avid Lak Rabbi Yehuda. Basically means either or. right? It's like a Beis Dira, meaning if it's within residential, if it, within a certain area to the residence, to the rest of the city, then it's like a Beis Dira, and then it's like residence, and then it's fine. The Mishnah later on, Daf Yud Ches, even if it's far from the city, there's another way to be misakin. So again, Parshat Pshat, we're talking about, right, we just had two stories where Rabbi Rav says, against Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah. So Gemara says, well, I'll tell you, there's a stira regarding Hilchas Erevin about being misakin in different areas of between Mishnah and Beis Mishnah and Erevin, and we fix that. But it's a little tenuous, the connection. But again, that's Gemara. That's Gemara. Remember the beautiful thought that Rav Huttner has. Rav Huttner has in the Pachad Yitzchak in the first piece on Chanukah, where he talks about how Chanukah is the Yontav of Tzar Shabal Peh. There is an Achron that says out there about every Yontav. Shavuos is the Chag of Tzar Shabal Peh, and Chanukah is the Chag of Tzar Shabal Peh, and Sukkot, there's more Dinim of the Drabanan of Tzar Shabal Peh, not the Arbanan, Tzar Shabal Peh, Lavud, good answer about building a Sukkah. Okay, so whatever Yontav you're talking about could be the Yontav of Tzar Shabal Peh. So here, Rav Huttner, in the Maimer Aleph, he talks about this issue, and he talks about how Rav Yehuda Anasi, as we know, collated or actually wrote down, Machloka seems to be Rashi Rambam. He put together the Mishnah. He gets the credit. Rav Yehuda Anasi, because of Eisla Asos Lashem, Eferu Torah Secha, because we would have forgotten it. And, you know, a couple hundred years later, Ravina and Ravashi. But he asked the question of, if they were going to write it down anyway, why did they make it more organized? It's pretty organized, but sometimes you read Gemara and you're like, what is this doing here? And, you know, you can learn a whole Masechta Shabbos, and there are certain important Yisodas in Shabbos that are not in Shabbos, and about Yontif that are not in Beitza. And it still, you know, could have, quote-unquote, if we were writing this book, we could have, and Chisura Mechzura. What? So if it's Chisura Mechzura, and the words should be understood differently, so why don't you change it? Why don't you change it? Why'd they leave it? Right? All these different Zuena Mishnah. So he explains beautifully that even when Chazal wrote down the Torah Shebal Peh, which made it basically into Torah Shebechzav, they wrote it in the Torah Shabbat Peh way. And therefore, you still need a Rebbe. You still need Mesorah. Even after Torah is written down, you can't just learn it. It's not just a book that goes exactly as you would have thought. There is a Torah Shabbat Peh element. And because the Torah Shabbat Peh, that is the special bris that we have with our Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he says in Oz Gimel here. Why do we have rules like Ein Seder LeMishnah, Chisura Mechzura, Ani Makam Zev, Ashir Makam Acher? So you still need Torah Shabbal Peh. And it does not take the place of the oral tradition. And he continues here. Again, look at this. And he says, even though there was a heter, but they kept an element of Baal Peh-ness, so to speak, to it. Okay, says the Mishnah. Next Mishnah. The Mefarshim explained that this is a Hemshech of Rabbi Yehuda Shita from the previous Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, it doesn't have to be so strong. So I say, Shalkash or Shalkanim, right? Even if the Korah is made of straw or reeds, Rona Sakilu Shematachas. Viewed as if it's metal, it doesn't have to be strong. The next line is unclear whether that's only Rabbi Yehuda or everyone. Hakuma Roa Nasiki Lipshuta. What if you have a bent Korah? It doesn't go straight across that you can put bricks on it. It's bent. So you view it as if it's straight. Agula Roa Nasiki Lipshuta Merubas. Right? If it's round, you view it as if it's Meruba, as if it's square. And Mieshba Kefesh Losha Tvachim, Mieshba Rochav Tefach. So if it's round, how do you know if it's, you know, three Tvachim wide, as we saw before, three Tvachim to hold the bricks of three half? So as long as the circumference is three, you know the diameter is one. Sounds like pi, right? We know pi 3.14. The Mishnah here says 3. We'll get to that. Baruch Hashem. To wake up for the Rambam today's shir, Dayenu. Okay. Hi, so Shokasho Shokan of Vechulu. First, let's do this. Lamin is Rechal Rabbi Yehuda. This first line is about like Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rechal Avishay Nebriya. Right? It's wide, even though it's not strong enough. So that's like the first line of the Mishnah, which we don't paskin like. Akumarona Saki Leap Shuta. What about the second line? It's bent, you view it as if it's straight. Ravacha b'shem Reb Zeira. Reb Yehuda, that's also Reb Yehuda Shita. Right, that you're allowed to say Rowan, you're allowed to view it. Reb Yossi b'shem Reb Zeira, no, Divrei Akol hi. No, that line is Divrei Akol. Fushite akmumis minatzad. It's talking about bent, not bent totally out of shape. It's bent, it's a little sideways. It's a little bent sideways, not up and down, so it can still hold bricks. And that's good enough, the Rabbanan would say. Akmimus, Shayna Makavis is a Mavui. And it's talking about, it's Akmimus, it's bent in a way that does not ruin the heter of the Mavui. Aval Akmimus, Shayna Makavis is a Mavui, Arezir Asura. If it would be bent in a way that would ruin the heter of the Mavui, that would be Asur. What does that mean? Vezu Akmimus, Shayna Makavis is a Mavui. What kind of Akmimus would ruin it? Kol Shi'ilu Yagud, Vein Bein Zula Zushlosha. Right? If you would cut out the part that is not functioning as a korah, the part that sticks out of the mavui, part of it is sticking out of the mavui. If you will cut that off, and you will still be able to use the rest of the korah within three tvachim of each other, that would be good enough. Period. Agula Rona Sagili Murubas. Od hi Rebbe Yehuda. So the last line we say goes back to Rebbe Yehuda though. First and last line of Rebbe Yehuda, the middle line could be either. The last line, if it's round, you can't put bricks on that. So, Rowan, you're allowed to view it as if it's a Murubas. Where do you learn this ratio from? If it's a round korah, that's three circumference, so then one, its diameter. So min hayam lam, you learn it from the yam. What yam? The yam shel Shlomo, right? The mikvah that was in the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built, this huge mikvah that was supported by, I think, 12 golden bulls, but there was a way that it connected to a little stream through the feet that are a member of the cows. So it was a good mikvah. It was a kosher mikvah. It wasn't in a kli. It was connected. So, minayam lamdu. So you learn it from the ratio there. V'yazayam mutzak be'eser amah. The pasuk says it was mutzak. It was molten with this silver. 10 amah bisvato. It says 10 by 10, but it also says v'kav shloshim ba'amah yosav osaviv. And it was circular 30. So it explains the side is 10 and circular 30. So you know, 1 to 3, right? 10 to 30 is 1 to 3. The Vilna Gaon's comments, if you look in the pasuk there in Melachim Aleph says, Vikav Shloshim Ba'ama, Kufav, Kav. It's a Kriyan Iksiv there. Kriyan Iksiv, it says Kufav, but it's spelled Kufav Hey. Kufav Hey. The Gra says, Kav is Gematria 106, and Kava, the Ksiv, is 111. 106 to 111. That ratio of 106 to 111 to the Kriyan Iksiv, says the Gra, is 1 to 1.047. Which is the same ratio as 3 to 3.14. So says the Gra, alluded to in the Kri and the Ksiv is pi. Right? That's the Gra. Again, the difference between the Kri and the Ksiv, 106 to 111, is the same rate, is 1 to 1.047. It's a little bit, right, more. And that is the ratio between 3 to 3.14. So the Gra says it's being marumas to the idea of pi, that it's not exactly 3, it's 3.14. And based on that, if you look in the Rambam here, and the other Rishonim quoted as well, the Sefer HaChinuch quotes this, but if you look in the Pirshei Mishnayos right here, the Pirshei Mishnayos says, the Rambam says, Sarach HaTaladas, the Rambam starts off that way, so we have to know, Sarach HaTaladas, Sheyachas Koter HaEgol LeHakefo Bilti Yadua. You should know that the number, to get the circumference from the diameter, it's Bilti Yadua, it's unknown. Unknown. What does that mean? V'ef sharlo dabra la b'lo olam b'diyuk. It's impossible, right? If you continue, how many infinite numbers, if it's 3 to 3.14, it's an infinite, irrational. So the Rambam says that 800 years ago. V'ef sharlo dabra la b'lo olam b'diyuk. V'ein zeh chisoron yediya mitzidenu kemo shechoshvim haschalim. This is not because we are lacking in our knowledge, like the fools say. It's not a problem in us. And one day we'll figure it out. Elisha Dover Zemitza Tivo Bilti Noda. Inherently, it's an irrational, unknown number. Vein b'mitziu Sosha Yodea. Avalef Shalashara Bekirov, you could estimate it. You could estimate it. Vikfar Asu Mumche Mahamahandasim Bazech Yiburim. There have been doctoral theses written about this, says the Rambam. But because of that, Halacha rounds off, so to speak. That's why we round to the greatest number, and that's why we say 1 to 3. But don't think that Chazal didn't know. Right? They round to the biggest number. All of Torah is like that. You could be mistopic and go, you don't have to worry about the 0.14. The Sefer HaChinuch says this, if you want to look in Reish Nun Ches, where he talks about the Rambam's mitzvah of midos, of having proper weights and measures. The Chinuch says the same thing that the Rambam says, again, a little more in depth. The Tosas Arash. The Tosas Arash here says, what do we need a pasuk for? Right? How do you know there's a pasuk? It's mitzius about the diameter and the sukkah. What do you need a pasuk for? The pasuk is teaching me this idea. The Tosas Arash in Erevin right here, Daf Yadalad, it's teaching me that for halachic purposes, you don't have to worry about that 0.14. That's the chiddush of the pasuk. That's the chiddush of the pasuk. Okay, so now the Gemara says, but once we're talking about the Yamshel Shlomo, which is the name we know of the Marshal Sefer, the Yamshel Shlomo, the pasuk says, well, what exactly was the Yamshel Shlomo? Was it square? Was it circular? You get different impressions. Ef Shalom or Agul Shafar Nemar Meruba. It says implicitly, right, if you look, it sounds like it's square. Ef Shalom or Meruba Shafar Nemar Eagles. Which was it? Was it square or was it circular? So no answer given until later. But first, the Gemara asks another question. How big was it? Right? In Tamar, we're going to switch the girsa here. In Tamar, Meruba. If you say it was square, well, the psukim describe, Rav Chaim Kadievsky says this, the Karbon Eida, the psukim describe that the mikvah could hold 2,000 bas. Bas is a measure of volume measurement. 2,000 bas is 6,000 sa'ah. Right? The mikvah of Shlomo could hold 6,000 sa'ah. One mikvah is 40 sa'ah. Which means how big was Shlomo's mikvah? It could hold 150 mikvahs. It was as big as the 150 mikvahs. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. In Tamar Meruba, if you say it was really square, Nimseis Omer, Mea Vishishim, Vishisha Vishte Yados, Tarahu Machzik. That's the Girsa of the Karbon Eida. Really, it should be able to hold 166 and 2/3 mikvahs. Why? Because the Pasuk says it was 10 by 10 with a height of 5. Which is 5,000 cubic amos. So if 5,000 cubic amos, you do the math, it works out to hold only about, right, 100 and, right, this mea vishishim, right, 166, right, it holds less, right, enough to hold less mikvahs, about 166 and 2/3. Itamer ogul, and if it's round, again, the carbon I ate here, and Chagadesky does all the math. Itamer ogul, nimsis omer, mea ve'esrim, v'chamishi yados tarahay machzik, 125 mikvahs. Because if it's a cylinder of 5, height of 5, and the circumference is 10, so that's the math. Lamaisa, it doesn't work out to hold 150 mikvahs. It's either 166 and 2/3 or 125. The Gemara says, Amar Meata, you know what you must say about the mikvah? The top part was circular and the bottom part was rectangular. And then you do all the math and it works out. Amar Meata, Shte Amos El Yonas Agulos Ayu, Shalosh Amos El Tachdonos Rubos Ayu, Nimseis Omer, so if you do the math then, Om Mea V'chamishim Yados, Tara Hayamachzik. It can hold 150. If you do all the math, you add up, you do the top part circular and the bottom part rectangular. We'll leave that actual math for homework. We continue. Kasev echad omer alpayim bas yachil. One pasuk holds it holds 2,000 bas. Kasev echad omer machzik batim shloshes alafim yachil. Holds 3,000 bas. Ef shalom alpayim shkvar nemar shloshes alafim. Ef shalom shloshes alafim shkvar nemar alpayim bas. Was it 2,000? Was it 3,000? Nimsei somer alpayim balach shein shloshes alafim biyavesh. It could hold 2,000 of a liquid measure, but it could hold 3,000 of dry. Right? Sometimes you can have a heaping. If you have a heaping, it's above the rim. So dry could hold more than moist. So mikan lamdu, and that's exactly why Chazal sometimes, even in telling us measurements of kelim. If you look in the Mishnah in kelim, in the 15th parak, it says, arbam sa balach shein karayim biyavish. Giving a shear, if you have a very large kli, then it's not makabel tumah. If it can't be carried full and empty, then it's not makabel tumah, it's not called a kli. So how big? So this is the shear. If it holds 40 sa'ah in lach, which is 60 sa'ah, karayim is 60 sa'ah in yavish, that's the shear. So you see, dry can be greater than moist. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Ad kan, discussions of koras. Be'ez Hashem, next Mishnah we get into lechis. Okay, we'll stop here.